May 16, 2008 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Don Coltrane, McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Garrison, Roy Haynes.
From Pedro Show, being brought to you this edition straight from Tokyo, the Wiku Takaido Shimo Takaido neighborhood of Tokyo, kind of in the west part of town, and I've been here for 6 days, 3 of the days I got to record Mr. Shim. Right. Mr. Shim Mizuko. And you're hearing other voices too, because I have some guests aboard here. Tatsunori Tawaraya. Yeah.
Hi.
I kind of got it. Who I got to meet in February when I did my brother, sister, daughter tour and played Heidi with a great band called Tua Or up up. You know, it's written like two up, but it's pronounced up up. Sort of like how psychology looks different than you say it. Why is that P there? And then you got some compadres here.
Yeah, we have
who are from Cali. Yeah. The Gaijin. And the Deuce.
Gaijin number one, Aaron Wade, I play drums.
Stick Man.
Yeah.
I'm Nick Barnett, and I am the bass player.
Right. Okay, so now, well, I should say that we started the show off with the song Shimmy Pick, My Favorite Things, John Coltrane, live Newport 63. And then we heard Dokorodon by Up Up, and then Demonstrations, which is the name of their band, called Flying Saucers. And so you got two bands going, Tetsunori.
Yes, I do.
Which band was earlier?
Up Up is earlier.
Up Up is earlier.
It started in 2003.
On over here, by my.
Yeah, Up Up started in 2003.
Yeah,
and Demonstration we made it in 2004.
First show was in January 2004.
So not too far after. Okay, kind of a. Not too unusual about Up Up, because it's a two-man band.
Yes.
And that cat, he's KG.
KG, yeah.
Who lives at Heidi. Heiji. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he lives here in Tokyo. You do,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
But these cats, they're in the state I live in.
Yes, they're from California.
So how did you run into them?
I used to love the music scene in San Diego, and first time I went there was in 1999, and Nick was at the place where I was staying at, and like he showed up and like smoked cigarette with me outside on the patio, and like we totally like started talking about like hardcore and like a lot of like a crazy like experimental music, and like we totally got along together, and like we decided to make a band like 3 years later.
But years later.
No,
but you say you're in the San Diego scene. You're here in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you're reading about it? You getting records from there? Did you just throw a dart at the map? At San Diego?
I went to the record store in Shinjuku called Nut Records, and they were selling one video called Crimson Curse, the band like was based in San Diego. And I went back to my house and like I watched the video, and that was like so crazy. Everybody was like naked and like painted silver and like playing like I don't know, guitars and like dicks hanging around, and like I was like, holy shit, I need to go to the city right now. And like I decided to go.
There was a 70s punk band in Hollywood called Vox Pop, and they play with dildos and have dicks hanging around. And another one too, Deadbeats. I don't know, the Daisy X had this band, Kill the Hippies.
Wow.
Kill them because the Beatles were wrong. Kill them because their hair is wrong. Send them back to San Francisco. Send them back to San Francisco. You don't know that? Wasn't that a big hit?
Wow.
No, and there was another. A lot of bands had dicks hanging off of shit. In a way. They're outrageous, you know? 70s punk in Hollywood.
Yes.
Okay, so you dug that video, and then you said, I got to visit this town.
Yes.
Now, but I know, I don't know, a number of weeks ago, you emailed me, and you were doing something in Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes, I was in art show there.
Oh, so you do more than music. You do art, too.
Yeah,
of course you do, because you gave me that great flyer you made for the gig.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank
Hair
you.
At all kinds of angles.
Yeah.
Right? On the same dude's head. Like the back of his head. I was digging it. I got the original. You gave me the thing. Right? I put it in a plastic, put it in my sack. I brought it home.
Really?
It's on my fucking bulkhead. The prac
rad.
Pad.
Yeah. Awesome.
So you were there for art. What, like a RISD? Mm-hmm. I know they got some.
Yeah, RISD art school, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Also, the strong music scene. Maybe. I know a few years ago they did. That's what Lightning Bolt and that
That's
stuff
true.
Comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But you went there for music. You were doing some music, though.
Yeah, I played, like, maybe 3 shows in Providence. Those are amazing. Like, we played.
With what?
Oh, with
Up Up?
Yeah.
So Up Up was on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
We on the East Coast tour.
Okay. And you did that connection was through art. But this thing was from this video. And then talking hardcore on the porch with a cigarette. And this band evolves years later.
Yes.
Demonstrations. Yes. Now, there's no E in their name.
No.
They're coming with it.
Oh, yeah. No E in the name.
And that's for Google searches.
Right? That's what I like to say. But, no, we just like the sound of it, actually.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
at least you didn't do D A E M O. Like Sophisto, Greco, Twisto.
Pseudo hyper intellect.
Yeah, right. This was kind of working the other way. Like, oh, look what we forgot. You know, in fact, dude, one time I was on tour, it was in Germany. Not to get too tangent on you, but a little bit. And this dude, you know how Hank, he's got. Search and Destroy on the back,
really big.
Like that. Well, there was a cat there with the shirt off, and he had that. But I looked closer. Sure enough, they fucking left out the S. not in Search, but in Search and Destroy.
Search and Destroy.
Destroy. And I go, hey, man, and I didn't even get it out. And he's like, I know. Right, you, Jess. I don't know if that was for Google search.
In the middle still has the S.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that. Correction.
Yeah.
Margin note. He just looked at me with these eyes like, you know, like 10,000 dudes have already told him.
Like,
hey, by the way. Oh, man, it's so funny. So, you decide, what, like through email later, after you go back to Japan, and hey, man, let's get a band.
Actually, no. We played like within a week after meeting Tetsunori again in San Diego in like 2003.
On that porch?
Different porch.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a house that was down in Hillcrest, and it was a party for a friend of ours. It was her birthday, and the same guy whose house that we ended up meeting at years before recommended that I ask him to play music. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea, because, I mean, we had met...
That
like,
you met years before.
Yeah, we met...
I thought like, he started playing...
Yeah,
he didn't meet him.
I originally met Tetsunori back in 1999.
Right, on that porch.
Yeah.
With the cigarettes.
We were staying at our friend JP's house, and...
But you started playing after you met him, the drumming.
Yeah. And then I moved down, and then we were in a band together, and then we asked Tetsunori if he wanted to sing on the band that we were in at the time. And we did a recording with that, and then
what band was that?
This is a band that it was a real like flash in the pan, like maybe like a year and a half. It was called Dosage and Usage.
Not even a year, actually.
Yeah, it was really really quick lived, and
no wine beyond its time.
Yeah, and then we asked him to sing on the record. He did all the vocals in Japanese, and it was like more like a like post punk, like more like solid groove, not as like a. Complex is what we do in Demonstrations, and so he laid down the vocals in a day.
Did you write the words?
I did.
Yeah, right.
And he made a little comic for an insert to go inside that had all the lyrics written in English, but he sang all the lyrics in Japanese.
Yeah, right. So it was kind of the translator with the pictures for
literal
impaired people.
It was fucking great. And then maybe 3 or 4 months after that, the same friend that we were staying at the house with like, years before recommended that we do something else, and then I asked him if he wanted to start playing music, and then we literally sat in my living room and started writing songs on the couch and on the porch, and then just started doing stuff on the four track, and then from that point on, it kind of took a life of its own, and we developed more structure in the songs.
Now you're on the second album.
Yeah.
But we had to play something from the first album because we can't get any tunes off.
I don't know what some of that tunes
So I can't really contrast. But I can't contrast with Up Up, because you kind of told me something in a message about, hey, I got this other band too, Mike. Because I knew about Up Up, because I had played with them, Brother Sister Daughter Tour, Hygiene. Now, where does the name come from a pad in Central Africa, South Central Africa?
Yeah, I think like it's a city in Argentina.
Oh, it's America, South America.
Oh, South America, okay.
Okay.
I think that's where it is.
It's only a couple feet away.
No
problem.
My bad.
Same planet, right?
Yeah, sorry.
So it's a name taken from a town in Argentina. And I was very interested in that scene because it reminded me of early 80s squat scene in Europe.
Yeah.
And I didn't, that was the only gig like that, that whole tour. We're playing this other kind of trip here known as Live House. And this is, which is more straight, more, this thing is more grassroots and run by the dudes, you know, KG's living there.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I really dug that gig. I dug them all, you know. The spirit of the bands I was playing with, it didn't matter if it was the most Square John Pat or whatever, they just brought it on. Sometimes you're playing in a studio.
Yeah.
It's trip. Awesome. They just bring the fire, man. It reminds me of the old days.
The passion.
In a lot of ways, yeah. And people going for unique sounds in their bands. I mean, there was Crew was smoking. And Mel Banana.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Mel Banana. Is there...
Oh.
I mean, they've been around now.
Yeah. Huh? Like a flavor. Like,
you know. At least 15 years, right?
Yeah, right. I'm wondering if a lot of bands are influenced. Because I'm hearing, even last night, with Panic Smile, I was hearing some of the bands at Mars gig last night. I did it. Gig with Shimmy and Sam Bennett on drums and Jim O'Rourke on guitar and some of the bands on the bill, which is amazing too. Four or five bands, right? The 20 minutes, half hour, everybody sets up, tears down, and there's no rock star crap.
Yeah.
Man, everybody's pulling together. But man, I think Mel Banana, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they got a little bit of influence on some bands.
They got influence to a lot of American bands.
A lot of American bands.
Yeah. Some Japanese bands, but like they are much more popular in America and Europe. Yeah.
Oh, then for playing here. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's with the size of audiences. What about with the sounds, man? That crazy shit where you jump all over the place and... I mean, not physically, with the music.
Yeah.
And... you know, I got a band, Missing Man, Tom Watson, guitar. Agata's his favorite guitarist. And Watson goes back, you know, the SST days. I mean, he was a young man then, but... so sometimes guys coming up, you know, that's why my ears are always open. 50-year-old punk rocker, but I hear a lep. Oh, so you mean 15 years ago there was other bands here in Japan kind of like Mel Banana?
I don't say that, but I don't know, people are really interested in like what they're doing, like what they sound like, but like it's really like a weird, like a lot of Japanese bands trying to be American bands. That's true. It's like, yeah, a lot of people think like what American people doing over there is cool.
Yeah.
Not Japanese people doing like.
I don't know who the fucking.
I don't know why, man.
No, but I don't know who's playing
awesome,
like.
Though.
Who was playing like Mel Banana in the
U.S.
in the U.S. Captain Beefheart on methamphetamine or something. Man, that's.
I mean.
Okay, but what about Up Up? Did you guys? You probably went to some Mel Banana shows.
Of course.
And out of respect, you would never copy your brothers. I'm not saying that. You know?
Right.
Sometimes though, like with the Hooskers and Meat Puppets, Black Flag, you know, we were playing again. We wouldn't copy each other, but we did kind of get inspiration and like,
oh,
they're trying to, like Husker does his Zen Arcade double album.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, fuck, they did one, we should try one. What, you know about a band called DNA?
Of course.
Hell yeah.
Arto Lindsay?
Arto Lindsay. Yeah, your brothers, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
They're great.
No, but it's something with your guitar a little bit? No.
Not really, because okay. Like he has like all... thinner strings on
that's
like
right.
a 12 like a strings guitar and like he just like jagged and like yeah just scratches it
right
yeah so.
You're working kind of a bass, you're doing almost the bass and the guitar guy at the same time.
I
you know about this
like
guy
bass,
Charlie Hunter?
Yeah.
He's a San Francisco guy now, he's more like a fusion or, that's a bad word maybe. But he, but he actually has some bass strings up there and he's playing both lines. Kind of almost like Chet Atkins kind of trip or something where you're doing two different trips.
It's like a Chapman stick to the like.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Tony Levin.
Yeah, I have like a two bass strings on my guitar.
Right,
that's
right.
Why you could tell like my guitar sounds kind of like a bass.
Yeah, and then the arrangements. You know, great.
Thanks.
Man, because it's full of life and passion. Yeah. I just dug it, man. Your band is happening. Okay. Now, when you get together with the my fellow Gaijins, do you take the same kind of guitar to them?
I use different guitar. It's
yeah.
Like a taste good.
I mean, in the thinking.
Oh, of course, like a totally different.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a great bass player here.
So the burden is lifted. No, because what you're doing up is a weird thing. It's a bass player be competing almost. Although I get to be your bass player a little bit for two songs.
Up, up, up. You remember that? Yeah, I remember. When is the recording?
Man, that was wild. That's right. I would like to. I would like to.
Next
I'll
time.
Go for it. I'll go for
Please.
It.
Please.
Now, how many tours?
We've done two West Coast tours, one North American tour that went up into Canada as well, and then.
Yeah, I heard they're still part of North America.
Yeah, it's I'm sorry. Yeah. It was a different experience for me. It was my first time there, so
yeah. I remember first going there. I dug it.
Yeah, it was.
You go to Montreal and everyone comes up and speaks French to you.
we got messed with too. We were at the club in was it Montreal or was it the one in where we played in the cavern one?
Oh yeah, that was Montreal.
Yeah, there's played there. There's these narcs.
Zubazar, is that it?
No, that was the other one that we played with. Yeah. But there was these narcs that kept on coming up to us and like asking us if you'd have any stuff. I want to get some stuff. They're yeah. they're trying to like ask us if we had drugs or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, fuck no, man. Like we're not stupid. It's like you're gonna admit something like that. Like we didn't have anything, but still, like they're trying to be on the sly and they were like checking
us squad.
Out. Yeah, and it was really funny. And so we just kind of had to like give them a little attitude and they left us alone. But
oh, good.
Yeah,
we're like, fuck on the covers.
I got some stories about them guys if you want to hear. One in Milwaukee that was very scary.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was playing. It was a fire hose gig with Beastie Boys. Oh, shit. Maybe a couple blocks from where Dahmer lived. Mm. Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm. Yeah, don't go home with him.
No way.
You don't have to worry. Anyway, you know, we're done playing and I'm slinging shirts in the back and I see these guys dressed as the Mod Squad running around, you know, rag, blue rag, red rag, and just like weird ass shit. And you know, they come and they grab me, you know, and you know, they were obvious, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're marking us, you're putting our lives in danger. They take me into the production office and when those guys, you know, the gig boss and shit is like, what? They're gonna take me into the alley and beat the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And little kids around me, hey, like what? And so, hey, hi. So then actually a uniformed sergeant was walking around and tried to say, you know, they tried to say, he's got a fake ID on and all this crap. And, yeah, and their pupils pinned, they're on the shit.
Oh, man.
Bad scene. I said, buddy, I'm stupid because usually you don't say anything in those situations.
Mm.
But there was one point where I said, how would you like to meet dress up as a cop and infiltrate your station?
Number one, that would be against the law.
You know, I was like, these guys. You know, it was a bad. When you deal with these cats, some of them. But actually, it was a uniformed guy. I said, yeah, that's him. And they were pissed, man. There was like steam coming out of their ears.
How'd you get out of it?
That uniformed guy.
He just came up and
he came by like, what's going on there? Because you know, and then they identify themselves. You know? But they didn't have to. They looked so corny, like some dude, you know, took them to what's it called, Hot Topic.
Oh shit.
Yeah. That's what these guys were like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, they were both buzz cut guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too much.
And they were like puffing their tail feathers and you know just trying
to picture them like, we're gonna pull you out of the police academy and throw you out here.
They were trying to
get street cred, military street cred. So you've done three tours then, but this is first time in Japan.
My second time. I came out here with my girlfriend last year and she plays drums for the Slits.
I saw the Slits in maybe 79, but the drummer was Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
You guys know Bruce Smith?
Yeah. Bruce Smith's a pop group?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. You guys know that shit.
Hell yeah. I want to see that.
Love that shit. Rad.
Wow. That's amazing. The only US guy. Did you know that? They were all England. Yeah, they're from a town called Bristol. Mm-hmm. I got to do a gig in Spain a couple of years ago with the singer. He's Mark Stewart's got a band called Mafia.
Mafia.
Got Wibbish on bass and Skip McDonald, Keith LeBlanc, the Sugar Hill guy. The guy's really tall.
Wow.
Mark Stewart's really tall. I would have never guessed it. And they were teenagers when that band was going on. And playing on the same festival, Bruce Smith's in some New York City two-man jam
improv thing. They hadn't talked in all them years.
Really?
Yeah. It's a trip. So I get, hey, Bruce. Hey, my first time meeting either of them. And so I see him talking stuff, and then Mark comes over and goes, man, it's been 25 years, huh? And he goes, I hope it's 25 more years.
Oh, man.
No, or something like the guy cuts about a million. This is another thing I couldn't imagine. He cuts about a million jokes every minute
mm-hmm.
and laughs at them all with this incredibly giant laugh. Yeah, that guy's a comedian. Because the pub group's very heavy stuff. And he still sings like that. Great voice. Why? So you know. Anyway, Bruce Smith was the Budgie. Because Budgie did the album. And Bruce Smith was the drummer for that tour. Great drummer, man. And so your girlfriend was drumming. I heard they... But who's in there? Just the singer, right?
So Ari and Tessa.
Ari and Tessa.
A guitar? And
then they got a bunch of
the bass player. Yeah. Bass. And it's not a trio. They got...
No, that's like five people. But
yeah, five people.
Yeah. Now, Johnny Rotten married the singer's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And they live in Malibu.
Mm.
I mean, that shouldn't be weird, should it?
No. Yeah,
it's kind of
weird.
No, it's not a gossip show. It's a lot from people. So your first tour in Japan, you're doing 8 gigs. Starting in Nagoya tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And where's it go from there?
We're going to go to Osaka, Kyoto, Tokyo, Orense, and Shibuya. And then we're going to go up to Yamagata, and then Sendai. And come back to Tokyo, and
we're going to play at
Koiwa, M7, and then Haichi. It's
going to
be the last day.
Right,
yeah.
All right, all right. There's a good band, Yamagata, called Shift.
We're
going to
play with Shift.
Yeah. Smoking, I got to do 2 gigs with them.
Mm-hmm. Yuki. Oh, wow.
That band is wild. All them cats in that band.
They're great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I played with a lot. And Sendai, I played with some good ones, too. A trippy one called OBS.
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 Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were trippy. Wow. Kind of like...
kinetic?
Atmosphere, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Yuki has a record label called Moore Works. He has a record label called
More Works. Okay.
Yeah, he put out our Japanese version of Night to the Shock, the second album.
Demonstrations.
Yeah, the one that we couldn't get on the computer.
Wow.
So
I know he's a go for. I think he spent some time in D.C. He's been around. He had a lot of knowledge of some of the older days and stuff. But man, he's
recording.
I love his fucking the way he goes for it in that. You know, his gigs.
Oh my God.
It's like a good spirit. This might be the last gig. Let's do it. I like that shit. So many dudes are like fucking sleepwalking and just connecting dots and just, you know, tons of poses. Yeah. Nah, these cats, man, it's like, time to go up. Yeah, it was wild. So you say hi to them when you...
They're
on the bill with you. Great, great. We should play some more music. A lot of spiel here. Let's play some more music. Got another one off of the first Demonstration record. Okay?
Which
East Coast with some flounder.
Yeah.
Tessinori just asked me my favorite fish. I like halibut a lot.
Yeah.
I like the orange ruffy, and you know, the expensive fish, Chilean sea bass, you know, that stuff, man, it gets flaky and puffy. And I chow fish a lot. I'm a big sucker at, you know, the culture here, big time. And something that we're missing in U.S., it's the seaweed. None of it over there. In fact, even the word seaweed.
Yeah, it evokes a really weird.
Right, but this stuff is great, man. It is healthier than any than the nori.
Yeah.
Bring it all. Oishi, you know? So we're talking about recordings versus gigs and stuff. And you people who listen to my show know about Minutemen deciding, you know, split the world into two categories, flyers, gigs. And, you know, everything that ain't the gig's a flyer, including the recordings. But they're asking me about this proj, what I just came to do, the Spielgusher thing. And it's part of this whole thing where I'm doing as much recording as I can because I want artifacts. It's not like I'm all doomsday and shit, but the glass might be a little more half empty. You know what I mean? Well, my pop got killed at 53 of cancer. And look, D Boone 27, you just never know.
Yeah, yeah.
So those things will be here after me. I said, the Akachans, my babies. I don't have the flesh ones. So I have the sounds. And also, they're classrooms. Every time you get together with somebody, even if you don't even know them, like I gave a cat, Tom in Pittsburgh, a bass, he made this righteous ass song out of my bass line with old analog synth, maybe synths made before he was born. It's just a way of coming together. Music is a righteous fabric. Now you say you pick up on this thing, I don't want to say ideology because that's weird, but ideas about recording.
Yeah, I mean I view it the same way, you know, as a, I don't know, when you make the record, it's something that acts as like a preservation of what you did at the time. And I was talking to some guys before I came over here to Japan, and they were asking me, so who designs your records, and you know, who releases your stuff? And you know, I say, you know, do it yourself. Like, you know, I don't know, I came from that old mindset, and I was really influenced by people trading mixtapes through the mail and, you know, looking at fanzines versus like someone that's trying to find a manager to get them to a certain spot. Because if you don't have the passion to do it yourself, you know, you have this really jaded perspective of like, you know, everyone has to do this for me, then I don't think you'll ever really achieve what you need to get out of music if that's your mindset from the get-go, you know? Like, you have to take it from the ground up and want to, you know, have the determination and perseverance to make it happen on your own accord.
You want
to
trip on a get-go mindset that we had? Because of this mind-blow, profound shock the punk thing had on us coming from arena rock. We thought that everything should be the gig, and if you do records, like there was this booth down at Portsco, some little tourista thing in Pedro, by the water, like a fake fishing village in a real fishing.
Yeah, we have one in San Diego called Seaport Village.
You know, some kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a booth there where you could go in there and make wax record.
That's awesome.
Right? And the record would be destroyed in like two or three plays.
Yeah.
And we thought that's the way it should be, you know? It won't be, you know, like anti-artifact.
Yeah.
But after a while, we said, well, no, maybe not. But, you know, the ideas in our mind, I think it was just the idea that we get to decide.
Yeah.
Because we never thought. We thought there were certain rules, and that's just what you did. Even songs, verse, chorus, you know, something liberating when I saw the up, you know, the verse, chorus, verse, bridge, you know, reprise. I remember seeing this word reprise on the lyric sheet.
Yeah, I know.
On the lyric sheet, the kid, like you're singing along with Mitch. That's what's so wild about Wire, right? They put the words all running together.
Yeah.
Not lines like, Keats and Shelley, like some poetry thing. It's all running together, and that's a Minutemen kind of was inspired by that. Just running together. Well, another thing was us going, tripping on an art museum. Sometimes there'd be a little work, and the description would be bigger than the work.
Yeah, that's
Laurie Anderson would probably take that somewhere. more talented at that than I do. Look, we should talk about this a song. What was it called? Voyeur?
Voyeur.
Voyeur.
How do you spell that?
V-O-Y.
U-E-R?
E-U-R.
E-U-R. Okay. And this is something from the new record.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is called...
Night Terrors.
Night Terrors. And by the way, he's missing in Terrors.
He's missing in Terrors.
And asking the band about what's different between first album, second album.
Songs are more stretched out.
Yeah, the songs are longer, and I'd say it's almost got like more pop sensibility. But
was it recorded
it's not,
different?
It's recorded in a real studio, not just recorded by me with like a 2-track on my computer.
Yeah. That's how the first one was.
That's how the first one was done. Because
you went to 4-track, you kind of went backwards.
Yeah, we went from tape, but then like multi-tracking became necessary to like individually track everything because all we had was like 2 inputs for the computer.
Right.
And so like we'd have like 7 or 8 or 12 tracks for a song because we do like overdubbing.
But
on the
drummy's recording it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Did you push the button?
Yeah.
The drumstick?
No, I push the button and I go walk behind the drum kit.
Oh, so it'd be a little lag.
Yeah.
It'd be some lag. So there probably had to be some editing.
There's a miracle of editing. It comes out into like a no breaks.
No delay of game.
Exactly.
Okay. So the recording was a little more sophisto.
Yeah, definitely.
Went into a, what England they'd say, proper studio.
Yeah, we
Where was it, San Diego?
It was in San Diego at this place called, was it Audio Design?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Off El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego.
It used to like be next to where the old Guitar Center was down in...
Shithard Center.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. Pretty much. And we laid it down on a 2-inch tape and...
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
like Minuteman days.
The people, yeah. And
used tape?
Yeah.
With our new tape.
Used tape.
Yeah.
We took one of the tapes from...
Recycled tape from the band that we were in before we met the Tenori, and we just bulk erased it and recorded over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Quote the Raven. More.
More.
Okay. So recording's different, but also the structures. The pop... sensibility?
It's just like... It's like slowed down. It's still like pretty fucked up sounding.
Yeah, yeah.
And like things aren't really in... tune with each other,
right?
But like the structures are a little more straightforward, okay. I think.
Now,
it's not as fast.
To get ready for the record, you come to town, or they flow you tapes, and you prac here in Tokyo.
No, I always go back to San Diego and like practice and. Yeah,
a couple weeks before the thing.
Yeah, yeah, there's a period of time where he would come over 2 or 3 times within like maybe 18 months' time, and he'd stay for 3 months at a time. And we would get together and spend like a couple months rehearsing, and then
we actors rehearse. We practice.
Oh, sorry, practice. Practice. Sorry.
Smacking that picky
Bad choice of words. Sorry about that. But yeah, we'd have him come over and we practice, and we would prepare for the recording, and then we would tour after the recording too.
Yep.
And then we would wait for the record to come out, and then he'd come back again, and then. And do a couple more weeks of practice, and then same kind of tour support for the record, so we can, you know, get out there and expose ourselves to people that wouldn't normally have a chance to see us. Because
can I ask how you come up with the tunes? What's the process?
Right now we're pretty much just like spitting things. Any way we can write, we'll write. Cause like
some cat comes up with a riff, the other guys bounce off.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's done. Like over the internet.
It's not like everybody's got their 4-track and submits demos.
Totally. No. it's more like we do some computer recording and then we'll MP3 it and send it to him.
No, but as far as the creating, I mean.
Oh, as far as the creating,
we'll sit on the couch, have a beer, sit down with the guitars, and just try to bounce ideas off of one another.
Well, it's written on the guitar.
Yeah, he'll make a bunch of crazy shit on the guitar, and it'll be a lot more linear than it turns out to be when we record it. He'll have 4 or 5 different parts, and then I'll sit there and hash it out with him and figure out my bass parts, and then
the drums.
Yeah,
and then
he has
your caboose.
He has the whole song in his head, and we're just like trying to draw it out of him, kind of thing.
So you're the main word man.
I mean, we have 100% of our own personality on our own.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm just I'm interested in all bands' process because I know they all kind of do it different. So I get into it.
Yeah, he
the whole idea of a band to me though that a good ideal for a band. You're making an interesting conversation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the way dudes do that interests me.
Yeah.
And I know they all don't do it like what.
would you say that like mostly like we write it acoustically, like with not amplified?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is literally, like I said, we sit on the couch and Tetsunori will start to write riffs, and then I'll start to write bass parts to complement them, and then we'll
Like for example, Voyeur, the song we just heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
That was off from internet.
That was off
like
of the internet.
I sent you guys like an MP3 or something.
Yeah,
maybe he got it.
Tetsunori wrote it in Japan and sent it to me. We needed like some more material for an album,
yeah,
for that album, and I added drums to it. And Nick was in Seattle or something at
yeah
the time.
You were caboose.
Yeah, I was
out of the picture. But then like me and him had pretty much had the song done when he showed up, and then it took him a little while to add his bass part to it.
All right. We're done with the first hour. Hold tight. It's May 16th, 2008 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. May 16th, 2008. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show. From Pedro Show, that was A Shark by Demonstrations, who I got here, Ms. Shimmy's pad, in the Shimotakaido neighborhood of west part of Tokyo, and I'm going to go back to my Pedro town tomorrow. Played last night at Mars, Mr. Jim O'Rourke, wild. I stank it up some, so I'm going to play another gig tonight at Super Deluxe, and I'm going to try harder, and a lot of regrets, bad dreams in my conk, and, you know, you roll the dice in the improv, just making it up, trip and stuff, and Shimmy was on the guitar and Sam Bennett was on the drums. But a lot of great bands. Panic Smile, Tantas, Light. They gave me their new album. I've been playing some of that. Tonight is really late for this town to play at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Very late. Not late for Derby Day in Louisville or Manhattan, New York or something. But enough about me. I want to get into talk a little about Tetsunori's influences on the guitar. Yeah, what about the singing?
Singing?
Yeah, any influence? How'd you get started on it?
How old? When I was a kid, I had to walk for half an hour to get to my elementary school.
Right.
And it was really cold, in the winter, and I was walking by myself, and it's really boring, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I started, singing by myself and stuff.
This is before you played guitar.
Oh, way before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get into the guitar?
I don't know. I thought, I had to decide to do a dance or guitar when I was, 12. And, okay.
You're either going to dance or you're going to play guitar.
Yeah,
those are the only two choices. Of course, silly, stupid, wise, and fucker questions.
I don't like go to dance school, but yeah, why not guitar?
Okay.
I do guitar.
Me too. Seriously, you either dance or you play an instrument. And so, I could have some shit.
Or drama class. When you start playing, did you listen to you're self-taught, right? But did anybody off records kind of?
Yeah, I copied television? A lot of stuff too. Not television, but really stupid Japanese folk singer. I copied that was
what's his name?
Tamio Okuda. I mean, he's not stupid, but his song is really.
There might be some Tommy Okuda. People out there, and they're like, damn.
Oh, he's really cool.
they're probably thinking, whoa, man, Tetsunori is his spiritual grandchild.
Yeah, I don't know. I was praying a lot of copy songs.
But from acoustic, then, because he's a folk guy?
Yeah, but I didn't have a acoustic guitar, so.
You're playing electric guitar.
Yeah,
okay.
Guitar, copying his song.
Okay. What was your first band?
Up, I guess.
Really?
I had a copy band before, but not.
But Up, Up is 2003?
Right, so I was playing guitar by myself.
You've only been playing four years. How old are you now?
I'm 28 years old. So
you're starting in your mid-20s. It's a lot of cats get going in teens. Some dudes don't. Joe Baez taught himself Saccharine Trust,
mm-hmm.
27 years old.
That's when he first started to play?
Yeah, taught himself. Uh-huh. Ends up transcribing Charlie Parker solos later on. Yeah.
Pain.
Wow. He came from art, from a painter kind of guy that wanted to play guitar. Because you got an art thing going too. So the art was during teen years? Yeah. So you didn't play as a teen cat. You said you made the decision.
I started when I was 14.
Yeah, but you didn't make a band until 10 years later.
Right.
Okay. It's more like just I want to do this for myself. I don't want to share it.
Yeah, I don't a big fan in front of me and shaking my head.
I've been in crack pads with one bulkhead's fucking mirrors.
Right here. It's good for drummers because it helps with your posture and
I had to do this thing, charity thing with these guys, the Cat from the Doors and Spirit and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and they're jamming in the mirror, and I turned around.
All the practice spaces we've been to so far in Tokyo
have mirrors.
Just on one wall.
I think the studio, huh, Mr. Shimmy? That had a mirror. We had a mirror where we recorded. I didn't look. I didn't look.
They have all the drum sets face towards the mirror, I keep ending up staring at myself.
Okay, what about drums?
Drums.
How old?
My sister actually started out on drums in my family, but she didn't like drums, so she gave me her drum kit, and that was probably when I was like 14. But I was playing guitar at the time, so I'd just fiddle around on drums and let my friends play them. But I was the first kid in my neighborhood to get a guitar, and so then all my friends got a guitar after me because they really liked playing it, but they all got better than me.
Right.
And they
needed a drummer.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. So, like, eventually...
Who'd you listen to? Who'd you like on drums?
Who did I like on drums? I started listening
first...
Who's
that going here?
Like, John Bonham and Mitch Mitchell are probably, like, my first
influences on drums. Ah, so older school.
Yeah. And any James Brown drummer, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I like playing the funk drums.
Clyde Stubblefield.
Mitch Mitchell pressure roll, I probably...
He's great.
Yeah.
He'd like throwing everything he knew in every
song. Exactly.
You know what I can do, Lou?
Yeah.
But monitors but not, either. I don't know if you know about that, man. Those cats. No monitors.
Wow.
Those drummers. And you see the Marshalls. The PA was mainly for the singing.
So yeah, how did they...
power in the stage with them. That's why you see arena 70s with a lot of amps. It's not just a look. They're just actually...
Oh, wow.
So the drummers are like getting beat with a lot
of... sound waves and
that's cool. You're into the old school. Wow. First band
it was just probably me and my friends just jamming, like covers, anything from like Led Zeppelin to like Rage Against the Machine or something like that. This is probably when I was like 13 or 14.
Yeah. And how 15. Old are you now?
I'm 25 now, so 25. This is probably like 11, 12 90s. Years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically any 90s alternative band, like whatever we were hearing on the radio is what we were trying to emulate.
What is it, 91X down there?
Yeah, 91X. Anything on 91X we were trying to emulate.
First band where you're writing songs.
First band, that was probably a pop punk band in high school. It was called Slap on Sam, and it was all originals. But it was just like pretty straight ahead rock and roll kind of stuff. It's basically the only band in school where I got along with the people, and like they were the only people like playing music, I guess. And like that, I was basically forced into that genre, even though I didn't really like to play it.
Genre?
Sorry.
Or genre.
Genre.
Genre is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't know. I guess San Diego scene, hardcore scene, is what probably got me to meet this guy eventually.
What's the first hardcore band I played with down there was a Battalion of Saints.
Yeah,
from San Diego.
Yeah, man.
And the first
man.
What?
Really? You know about that? And it was a place called the Lions Club. Mark Wait put on the
cattle decap, Dad.
Yeah.
Was it the Lions Club with Black Flag and Battalion of Saints?
Wow.
There was another band that was more Rolling Stone like called Penetrators.
Penetrators.
Yeah.
not Penetration from England, but
the Zeros. I really like from
Zeros. Chula Vista, but they didn't really. They came up to L.A.
Okay.
They were really early, and they were really young. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
And now singer Roberto is Alves.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Now the bass.
I was influenced deeply by Black Sabbath, and
when'd you start?
I started playing bass when I was 13, and everyone else I knew was playing guitar. And so I decided that the guitar players were dime a dozen when I was growing up, so I wanted to do something different and take a different route. So I picked up the 4-strings instead of the 6.
And you were into Geezer.
I was into Geezer, too. Yeah.
I was. I confuse them a lot with the guitar. I really only know the first 4 records. They're really good. I saw him a couple times back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found out later he wrote all the words.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
he just comes out with that.
But he had a lot of good licks. He's a big part of that band, I thought.
Yeah. And then other bands I was really influenced by were Dead Kennedys and
Klaus.
Yeah. And
Pickman. Are you a Pickman?
I use a pick.
It's all right.
I try to play with my fingers sometimes, but for what I do and how long I've been doing it, I got a pocket full of picks.
I think Minuteman up to his punk was too fast. I couldn't use my fingers.
That's right.
You know, I think pick has got things you can't do with your finger.
Yeah.
I seen that whistle use pick, finger, and slap it in the same song.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever it takes. I'm not into that snob trip. And there's things you can do on a pick you can't do with fingers.
It's like
the problem with a pick, you lose them.
It's like
a little harder to lose these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Although I had a woodshop teacher, Mr. Bowman, class, today's lesson, safety. The bandsaw. I wonder how he is now.
Yeah, like those two guys, and then Lou Barlow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's playing again. And he used to pick and big-ass chords. So I love his style.
So good.
I love his style. So, first band.
First band I was in was pretty much just a straight-up 4-4 punk band, and I was about 15, and we recorded...
He got a head start in punk because he had a brother in the scene.
My older brother got me into punk and turned me on to, you know, Black Flag, Neurosis, and Crass, and bands of that nature. So like early 80s, I was like inspired by all that stuff. And all the Thrasher, Skate Rock compilation tapes that they would put out.
Oh, how old are you now?
I'm 29.
So you're the old man in the band.
I am the old man.
That's the youngest.
I got the grays in the beard, but I always shave it because I was spotty. It's Spanish.
So what was that 15-year-old band called?
When I was 15, this band was called Filbert.
Filbert. There's a 7-inch out there in the world if someone wants to.
Oh, so you recorded way back.
Yeah, we recorded with this guy, Bart Thurber, and he ran this operation called House of Faith. And then he turned it into the mobile House of Faith, and he would drive his VW bus to your house. And he would record you on his Tascam half-inch reel for $10 an hour.
Yeah.
And we laid it down in 8 hours' time and was mixed and mastered all there on the spot. And the 7-inch came out posthumously because we had broken up maybe like 6 months before that.
like a Discord band.
Yeah, seriously.
Were you in bands after that?
Yeah, I was in another band after that with another friend of mine that was in that first band. And... it was a band called Makara, and we put out a couple records, and we basically just played up and down the coast, and that's how I met the friend who I ended up meeting, Tetsunori, at the house. We were kicking on the porch smoking cigarettes the first time back in '99.
You both can tell me about San Diego scene from teenage years, right?
San Diego scene, I was...
It's 100 miles, 120 miles from Pedro, south.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know a lot about it.
Yeah, we were in. Personally, there's bands like John Henry West, Klickitatikatawi, Heroin, Antioch Arrow, and they were all part of this label called Gravity Records that this guy, Matt Anderson, used to be in Heroin. He put out the records, and it was like a small local record label, and it kind of spawned like a whole. Offshoot of all these other bands that kind of sounded like that.
What was the pad everybody played?
They played at the Che Cafe.
Che Cafe.
And I think they play out in
The Oblivion, I think was the name of it in East County. We're trying to figure out the name of this place.
Okay.
On El Cajon?
Yeah, on El Cajon.
And now, is this the scene you were listening to? See, mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking, because this is what attracts Tetsunori.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about Tokyo scene?
Tokyo scene.
Tokyo scene.
I mean, when did you get into the scene? As a teenager?
Not really. I was listening to a lot of like bands from US and after that I noticed like a lot of American people like know a lot of like good bands from Tokyo, and I was learning like from them and like they turned me on to like Tokyo hardcore scenes and like Tokyo music scenes and stuff. But I really like Tokyo music scene, like it's like a more free, like no genres, like all kinds of like a noise and like experimental scenes mixed stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
you know the No People?
Huh?
You know the No People, Jin?
June?
Yeah, no underground government label. Yeah, there's a scene, because Tokyo's a big town. I bet you there's scenes that aren't even aware of each other in the neighborhoods.
The microcosms.
I mean, because look at this with San Diego and me, and I'm 100, I'm not that far, I'm in the same state. You know, because in the old days.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Because
in the old days, you actually knew about other dudes' scenes in other towns and shit because it was so small. But punk, it's got so big and spread out.
I don't know. I think LA and Southern California are sprawling so much now that there's so many scenes going on that are amazing that a lot of people don't even know.
That's what I'm saying. They're coexisting without each other. In the old days, you knew because there's hardly anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, you just knew. And so I bet you in Tokyo it's like this too. Several scenes.
Yeah, there are a lot of scenes, in Tokyo.
So we had a band from Tokyo come play a fucking bar in Pedro called Harold's. called the No People.
No People?
Yeah, oh, and Belly Button. And, you know, they get their own label, you know, the whole deal. Like,
oh, wow.
30 years ago, you do the same thing. You get your label, your bands, you all hang together, you play together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, what happened was he had a connection. There's a label in my town called Recess Records.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd Congelari.
The,
you know,
Propagandi Ice Spice Split.
He was in, he puts out all kinds of records.
Uh-huh.
He was a pro skater guy, and he's got several bands. Started with the 5-Year Plan and Toys That Kill, and now he's got the Underground Railroad to Candyland. I mean, and this guy is, I've had him on the show a few times, he's intense. He's not really, he's from Torrance, but he moved to Pedro in the 90s, and there was a house on 4th Street, and they called it Porch Core. I was torn so much, I didn't even know this was happening in my own town. Okay, so, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden there's dudes from Orange County moving to Pedro, which would have never happened when I was young. You know, just different, because they hear about it, the scene's happening, man. I want to be part of that.
I saw a lot of that happen, too, in San Diego, kind of after those bands had their heyday. A lot of people had moved to San Diego to try to rekindle that same kind of energy. And it flourished for a little bit, but then it kind of just phased out. And now I don't really know what's prominent and up and coming in San Diego. I'm just, like, out of the loop, I guess.
Well, there's suburbs here in Tokyo, right?
Yeah, right.
Some dudes grow up, they probably move into the city.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, do you ever see this problem? People talking about it, but nobody doing?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people flap their gums, but, you know, it takes people with the commitment and the gumption to make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
Get off the fence and make it happen, you know? Just...
It does stress me out, you know? Yeah, okay, somebody sends me a song, I put bass on it. I'm going to go do this recording, I go and do it. I don't think I'm superhuman. It's like what we did in the old days.
You just have the passion, man.
Right. You want to make this band? Yeah. In fact, you have an ocean between, but you make it happen.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's righteous thing. It's very inspiring.
I need to do it.
You got to have that release. And, like, I think that's what separates the musicians from the ideal people. Is musicians, like, they have to have it in order to be sane people.
I think also with the human condition, there's a social component that can kind of, you know,
explain. I don't understand.
There's a thing about just, you know,
communication.
Sometimes to do, you got to cut off from people.
Yeah.
You know about prac. You don't invite 10,000 dudes over.
No,
that'd be
no.
a gig. Right. You know, sometimes you have to cut down. But to be social, you go to have the coffee or the beers, and you just sit and shoot the shit. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that can become like an end to itself. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
spend all the time just talking about stuff and not.
I have a lot of friends who
that's
play
why
music.
That's why,
like,
I was talking about the social part.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all. I don't think we're total loners and stuff. But
yeah.
But to get stuff done, sometimes you gotta, like, pull up the drawbridge a little bit.
Yeah. Right?
Definitely. Yeah, and put down the beer.
So, and I'm into it. I'm gonna still be doing gigs and stuff, but I'm into this recording kind of trip. And because of the net, some advantages of the new technology, you can do this without even meeting cats. Couldn't do that in the old days.
Yeah.
Somebody couldn't flow me a song and I had to flow them back to bass. That's really a trip.
I don't think demonstrations could probably exist without the internet.
And you guys, right? Yeah,
yeah.
And flowing the tunes over.
I mean, it's also cheap communication too, because talking on the phone, it's so brief because it's so expensive.
Right. I hardly even use a phone.
Yeah.
That's a boom. It's another dude in Pedro. I don't want to do it. You do get a little more. I remember being in 20s and, like, oh, you're done with work, you're done with the school, and you go to a house where everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking. Yeah, you don't do that. Like,
No, not so much.
I don't. I go home and I see people at the gigs. I'm playing and stuff. I'm not a total loner, but it is a little different than when I was more young. So after this tour,
yeah,
plan.
Got to get some recordings done. Got to tour Europe.
Yes.
Yeah,
we basically want to play the world before we start, because I don't know.
I think we have enough material under our belt to go out and not have to worry about doing a new record, even though we do actually have a new record ready.
Yeah, we have a new record waiting to record. It's just so hard to get our shit together because we're about to be multi-continental, you know. So.
Oh yeah, I forgot the important question. Your favorite bass.
My favorite bass. The one I have now is a 52 Fender P-Bass reissue with a Telecaster headstock.
Amp.
My favorite amp is my SVT. It's a solid state, but it's reliable, and I don't have to worry about tubes blowing up on me. SVT3, yeah.
Drum.
He says it's the worst drum kit I've ever had, but it was actually this like a 65 Slingerland with a 20-inch bass
Slingerland.
Drum.
George really had Slingerland snare in
mid. Like mid-60s Slingerland. Like,
yeah, same thing, a wood one.
Yeah, the Maple like three-ply ones I made, they have this really amazing tone you can't find on any other drum. And it's just like the really boomy bass drum and like really compact, but the toms are really boingy at the same time.
Man, that shit would roll around and look like it would fall off sometimes when we were practicing.
I played too hard, so I had to get rid of it just because, like...
You beat it up.
Yeah.
Well, here you're going to be playing other people's stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite guitar?
It's a Tasco TG64, and my favorite amp is like a combo amp called Heath. It's 210.
It's a 2x12. Heath was a... Do you know what Heath is?
Heath kit?
Yeah, like the kits that you put together. Yeah, this was one made in the factory that we found, and like from what we were told, it was like the same amp Brian Setzer used in Stray Cats or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you an up, you modify your guitar.
I use different guitar. It's called Silver Tone.
Mm-hmm. Silver Tone,
right? Yeah.
Dan Electro.
I use it, yeah.
Silver Tone was like Dan Electro's made for Sears.
I know, yeah. It's like a cheapest, yeah.
No,
supermarket.
Yeah, he got a great Bill Spine has a couple, he plays them.
Okay.
He got a lot of respect, they're good sound. I was watching some band, a friend of mine's, you know, they got the Gibsons and the Fenders, and they're switching guitars around on the cap on a Silver Tone, and it's the loudest, most presence. Yeah, all of them.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. It was in Belgium, Pukkelpop or something.
The huge festival out there.
I told him right after, too. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Those lipstick pickups. And
I know.
But what you do is you put two bass strings on the top.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you get up together?
How did I get up together?
Yeah.
We went to the same high school.
Ah.
And we decided to have a band. I mean, outside of Tokyo, Hachioji.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we started.
Wow. And that thing, that the Haiti, tell me about that.
Haiti.
Besides the name, you know?
Yeah, his friend Ito, Mr. Ito, was like riding on bicycle. He lived like his family lived like really close to Haiti, and like he was hanging around by himself, and like this like crap warehouse might be for rental, and like he was like calling a bunch of people up and like found out who owns it, and like he asked the owner to rent it for really cheap. So yeah, it was like 3 years ago, and
it's been going for three years
now.
Wow.
But they don't have that many shows, like maybe once or twice
a month. Yeah, you were telling me once or twice a month.
It's like a special like ceremony. You know, I don't know, parties.
Yeah, it was a crazy... I dug that gig. Well, you're going to start the tour tomorrow.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Pick up a car tomorrow morning and drive 5 hours to Nagoya.
So, what, you got shit to do now?
Yeah. I think I need to pick up right now. Yeah, thank you for inviting us over. That was very good.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Martin.
Yeah, thank you for everything.
And you're taking back the music?
No, we're leaving.
All right.
How are you?
I put can I have another one of them cigarettes?
Oh, yeah.
What are they called?
Golden Bat.
Golden Bat.
Yeah. We have a song
based after it, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that one and say goodbye and safe seas. Have a righteous tour.
Thank you.
Look out for demonstrations after the Japan tour, maybe U.S. one, maybe Europe one.
Europe one. Europe one, of course.
Okay, much respect, brothers.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Good to meet you.
There we go.
Thanks, what?
Peace.
And you need to see his pinky finger.
What the fuck is that? You know what happens, then they get longer.
What?
I got a little bit.
You can see how it's over the nail. And
I kind of get them from busting my knuckle on the drum.
Oh,
right there.
Got a little bit.
Then this gets big from holding the headstock up. See, yours ain't got
soft
like that yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So bass changes you.
Yeah, these are from the past 4 days of practice. And I'm usually callous, but this is very intense.
They can't really get too hard or they rip off, so they get like moccasin.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
That's weird.
Got to be pliable, especially if you sweat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To talk of the trade here. Anyway, thank you for being on the Watt Pedro Show.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you come in the U.S. thing and you come into the SoCal, tell me so I can come to the gig.
We will.
Cut the shit and start the piss. Yes.
We will.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's play some music. Thank you.
Show.
Swat from Pedro show. That was Feathers Dusted by Toykestra. And before that we had BBE 12 by Position Normal. Water by Now before that. Black Yogurt by Tobacco. Now, I can tell you something about Black Yogurt. It's, Mr. Tom of Tobacco asked me to flow some bass lines, so I did, and he built a song around one of them, and I just think he's an amazing cat. Anyway, I saw his band a couple months ago live, Black Moth Super Rainbow, and there's an interview with him on Watt from Pedro show not much back, probably right around when I saw that gig. And I think he's something else, and I was very honored to be part of that. And we started the chunk off with the Color by Motoko Honda, some improvised music from her, and she's going to be a guest on the May 25th show back in Pedro with Brother Matt. I had to say bye to the Demonstrations people because they're getting ready for this tour of theirs, huh? And you can find out more about them at demonstrations.com. DMONSTRATIONS.com. Oh yeah, www. And that's the prefix. I'll keep it kind of cryptic like that, so you have to work a little bit for it. Man, I've had some great chows here. They call it Tabby Mono. And Mr. Shimmy's cooked some himself, some righteous curry, and soba pororo. Did I say it right? I don't know. It just tastes really good. All kinds of stuff. And then he's taking me to some pads somewhere. We cooked it right there. They bring the raw fixings up. There's a little grill there with charcoal. Even today I had some tonkatsu with egg mixed on it, and on rice and udon, and had natto. Mr. Tom Watson from the Missing Men implored me to try some natto, so I had it. Mr. Jimmy said it was going to taste, it smelled like a foot, kind of did, but mixed up with mustard and soy sauce. It's kind of beans, you know, but you have to keep twirling the hachis because it's kind of like booger thing. Mocos. But it's all right, man. It's good. And Mr. Jim O'Rourke, before I played last night, well, both of us played, along with Mr. Jim and Mr. Bennett, to the chow pad. It was like this little alley, and there was several of these tiny places right next to each other, you know, and across from each other in this little alley. You couldn't drive down it. And a cat named Dan there fixed us up some great things, you know, like dried squid and stingray and a trippy kind of potatoes with this sauce and these kind of roll things that have been fried. They're stuffed with good chows, and I haven't been able to pedal or paddle here, you know, no kayak, no jitinsha. So, well, I'm kind of hankering for that to get back to my Pedro town. I might be
I might have bailed out a little. Maybe. A little. Doesn't seem like the belt ain't too stretched. Let's play some more music.
All right, there's a new single. The other new single.
Beat it up, 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 beat It's my life.
What from Pedro Show. Started that section of music out there with somebody I'm going to see. I get back, the Dirt Bombs, Motor City Baby. This is a song, and they are from the Motor City. Not too far from Ronnie there in Ann Arbor. I'm going to see at the end of the month. I've been told we've got 3 songs we're adding to Stooges gigs. Oh, thank you. They call coffee or Coheed. Mr. Shimmy just made me some. It's smelling good. Arigato. Thank you. Don't touch a mustache. And then I played you something that I put bass on called Beat It Up by Kawaii Kato, which I guess means cute butt. Kawaii Kato?
Kawaii Kato.
Right. Cute butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Cute?
Right.
Question mark.
Because I think it used to be Kawaii Kato Baka. I think so. But this is another thing where I was sent. Miss Kyoko, she's done a few of these where she sent me music from Powerbook. Actually, last summer I recorded right in to that. But a rapper man from L.A., a Latin cat named, what's his name, Victor? I hope I didn't get that wrong. And so I gave him some bass. And that was the result. So there's a few other songs, too, that are coming out. I think it's going to get released soon as a project, so I'm kind of a member of that band, which is neat. And then we heard Schooner with Irreversible Deduction. And we've come to the end of the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show for May 16, 2008. Hold tight for hour 3 live here from Tokyo. May 16, 2008. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And here's part 10 of Jack Flanders in Dreams of India.
So these incredible statements just sort of burst out of her at different times.
Yes.
Some amazing things she said. Well, here, look at this one. Read this to me.
Here?
Yes.
So long as there remains a separate river distant from the ocean, which is its source and its goal, then the river will retain a separate name and have an individual identity. But once the river gets merged with the ocean, it gets the taste of the ocean, it gets the form of the ocean, and it takes on the name of the ocean. If you want to be one with the Lord...
Lord Krishna.
God, you have to get the feeling of the Lord. You have to get the form of the Lord. You have to get all the characteristics of the Lord himself. Only then can you be one with him. You have to feel that all the attributes of the Lord should manifest themselves in you. The broad-mindedness of the Lord should become part of me. The selfless feelings which characterize the Lord should become part of me. The unbounded love of the Lord should become part of me. When you have this feeling, then you reach the position of he and I are one, and there will be perfect unity. You must continuously strive for this feeling. You should make every effort to acquire it, then one day you will reach that fulfillment. This is the ultimate goal of human life.
I have another post-it here somewhere. Something Madame Chatterjee said about Buddha. Oh, yes, here it is. You wrote, "We could hear the far-off chanting of the monks. Again, she seemed to fall into a trance." and she looked at me with those strange, piercing eyes.
Buddha saw that birth was sorrowful, that life was sorrowful, that the end was also sorrowful. After having seen all the sorrows of life, and after having watched so many people suffering, he couldn't continue to wallow in ignorance and illusion. Buddha's life serves as a lesson for you. In the limited time given to you, you have to realize your true nature. That is the real objective of human life. Someday, your body is going to perish. The indweller of your body is the only permanent entity. When you inquire into truth, you will realize that there is nothing like old age, that there is nothing like death for the indwelling self. If you could understand that this indweller, who is your own reality, is God, then you will know the truth and enjoy infinite peace.
Infinite peace. Yeah. So, you haven't finished the story of your aunt and her visitor because it's not finished.
Exactly.
And I'm here to help you finish it.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see if we can end it. Ramchandra, I'll need your lantern again.
I have it waiting for you.
Oh, thanks. There's two lanterns.
If it is all right, I will walk with you part of the way.
Fine.
You are having success?
It's hard to say.
Memsab was feeling better today.
Yes, I know, but I don't know what that thing will be throwing at me next.
Before a farmer can raise a crop in his field, he must do a great deal of preparation.
What?
The land must be cleared of brush and stones and weeds. Then it must be softened by plowing and irrigation. So must you also carefully prepare the field of your heart. One must remove from the heart all undesirable thoughts and useless habits. They must be cleaned out. Then you have to irrigate the entire field of the heart with the waters of love. These waters of love make the heart soft and cultivatable. With the help of sadhana, you have to...
Sadhana.
Spiritual practices. You have to plow the field of your heart and spread the manure of faith to make the soil fertile and nutritious for the seeds to grow there.
The manure of faith?
Only when all this has been done will the field of the heart be ready for sowing.
Well, I'll try to remember...
When the heart is covered with bad weeds and bad thoughts, when it is barren, hard and dry and unfertile, how can good seeds grow there and have a chance to become a bountiful crop?
Well, that's very profound.
I go no further.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Good luck, Master Jack.
Thanks. Palace once again. Now, how can I find out what this visitor wants? What deal did Madame Chatterjee make with it? It's the same old abandoned palace. Empty rooms, except for one, the gym room. Everything's the same as before. Drapes, carpets. Well, I may as well fluff up a cushion. I forgot about the dust. Look, I know you're not a ghost. I know you're not even a djinn. You speak to me with my own voice, but I know you aren't me. What you are, I don't know. Now, Madam Chatterjee is suffering. She's growing weaker. She wants to die. Why? Was it you who appeared before her 40 years ago and gave her my card with my name and my present address and phone number 40 years ago? I'm really impressed. Look, I don't know what you're thinking, or how you think, or even if you... I see. You came to her when she was a child. You said you would help. There was an agreement that you would help her if she did something in return. I don't understand. Why won't she honor it? You sigh just like I do. The things that you said when you spoke through her are so incredible, so beautiful, and so wise. I can't believe you could say these things and yet hurt her, punish her. You even say, the way I do. 40 years ago, when you gave her my card and said, if you ever need help, call on me. It wasn't if she ever needed help. It was if you ever needed help, she would call on me. Wow. And she did call. And here I am. I can feel you. There's a sadness I feel. I trust you. And I offer myself. Use me in whatever way so that we can resolve this. Wait a minute. You're saying it was not you who gave her the card? But... what? As the poet Tagore said, God waits to win back his own flowers as gifts from man's hands. Rising higher. It's apparently adjusting for the open window on the second floor. I hope your aim is good, because I'm not slowing down. Right in. Nice shot.
It'll be all right. Don't worry. Watt from Pedro Show. Mr. Shimmy's getting the pasta on here. He called it Gigi food. But it was, for me, this was chow as a kid with my mom. Kodomo chow for what? Not Gigi chow. Gigi chow. No, as I got older, less pasta. But I'm getting into the udon. The original stuff, the Asia. Because everybody knows it didn't come from Italy. Marco Polo brought it there after visiting East. Okay, we just heard Mr. Jim O'Rourke, something he gave me last night after the gig. I think it's a reissue of this album called Tamper. And that was a tune called He Felt the Patient Memory of a Reluctant Sea. And before that, we had Shinkai from Light, which Mr. Shimmy informs me means deep sea. Before that was Macro Architecture by Colonel Drop, something from Italy. Working the synthesizers. Much respect. And we started the third hour off with part 10 of Jack Flanders and Dreams of India. Only one part left. The conclusion, next Watt from Pedro Show. And now I'm going to pause a little bit here because we're going to chow the tabimano that Mr. Shimmy has cooked up. So as soon as I shovel that, we'll head into the last 20 minutes of this edition. Okay, we just chowed. Mr. Shimmy, tell us what kind of pasta, the Shimmy style.
タラコスパゲティ。
Yeah, タラコ spaghetti.
Japan and Italy.
Yeah, joined together. So it had some daikon sprouts?
Daikon sprout and yuzu kosho,
which is like a citrus pepper mixture that's kind of salty.
Sancho? Green butter.
Right? Green spice, green bottle spice. It's kind of like oregano.
Seven spice.
Just got some like peppers.
And the nori.
And nori, which is seaweed, very thin. Very good. They didn't have any kind of sauce on it. Oh, some Parmesan.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese.
Very good. Easy chow.
And then after I had some the black vinegar and queso. What's it called?
Mozuku soup. Su equal vinegar.
Vinegar. Okay. And you know about Japanese vinegar, it's spiced. It's made from rice, not from grapes. It's very good. Very tasty. All your chows have been righteous.
You eat natto.
I had natto today. I was kind of saying that. I was talking about the tonkatsu mixed with the egg on the rice and the udon. Yeah. Yeah, Tom Watson, Missing Man guitarist, was very intent that I eat natto. Shimmy said it smells like foot. It is trippy. It's some kind of fermented beans. So there's kind of a goopy thing going with it. And he mixed it with mustard and soy sauce.
Yeah.
It was very good. But when you're chowing it, you got to twirl the hashi because it'll get all over everywhere. A lot of interesting chow here. All good. All feel, make me feel healthy. Maybe because of not bicycle and
kayak, I think I got a little heavier. Jim O'Rourke was saying he got heavier. Mm.
Zabi.
It's okay. Zabi. Zabi. Zabi
waiting.
Yeah, Zabi's the name of my kayak. Zabi's waiting patiently. In fact, in the boat, in the garage, my garage just big enough to hold the boat. So I only park there when I leave town. You can't do it every night. Have to push the mirrors in. It barely fits. But we have this law. If your vehicle's out on the curb 3 days, they tow it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bye bye. Impound. Yeah, it's kind of. So I take it off the street and put it in my garage. With a painting of John Coltrane that Michael Cano made for me. He watches over the boat. In fact, I have to take the Chechen shot on the bike and put it up in my apartment because it can't fit in with it in there.
Japan bicycle people.
Yeah.
Very.
Right. Right. They're on the sidewalk. Mm. They got the headphones on, the earbuds. They're using the cell phone. You have to be really watching when you're walking here. I want to ask you about the music. You started on guitar.
I started guitar 16.
16.
Mm. Yeah. I was bass.
Bass first. Ah, righteous. What made you want to play bass?
6 months. I don't play guitar.
Right, just bass. But what made you wanna? What made you wanna? Why?
Oh, I don't know.
You just said, man, I wanna play that. Huh? Did you have a hero?
Eh?
Bass hero?
Bass hero. Bass hero, my God.
Yeah, but when you were 16. When you were 16.
Hmm?
When you were 16 years old, did you have bass hero?
Bass hero, だろうな? Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
Sing and bass.
Sing and play. Right.
I like
you like that. But 6 months, you go to guitar. Very good guitar player. Yeah, much respect.
Arigato.
Who was your guitar heroes?
My guitar hero, Ronnie Kessler.
Ronnie Kessler. Yeah, we got to play some.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Lou Reed,
yeah.
And John Lennon. John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Mm.
Yeah, much respect.
I like singer.
Singers that play guitar. Yeah. All of them except maybe Barney Kessel. Your first band.
Yeah, first band. Bridge.
Bridge.
Mm.
How old?
6 years.
How old were you?
Oh.
Age?
20. 20.
So from 16 to 20, no band. From 16 years old to 20, no band.
Copy band.
Copy band. Okay. Bridge first band with your own songs. And you're 39 now. So almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Late 80s. In Tokyo.
In Tokyo.
Because you come from Nagano. But only there short time.
Yeah. 6 months.
6 months.
I don't
remember. Yeah. So you come to Tokyo. So all you know is the Tokyo music scene, huh?
No?
Have you toured a lot in Japan? Now with Cornelius.
Yeah, Cornelius.
When did you join them?
2 years ago.
2 years ago? Oh, recent.
But Keigo Oyamada.
Yeah. Boss.
My band Bridge.
bridge.
Produce. Past album.
Ah, so way back then. Because after Bridge, then solo records, then Ashray. Right. And then Migu. Which is first how I heard you. Migu. I didn't know you had the connection with Mr. Kago. Bridge, first one. Great. You wouldn't know all those years later. You would be playing with him. So Migu, two albums. First one 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? 2002?
6 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Fast.
Really fast. Now, we just recorded. And you're using the same machine?
Yeah.
It's a Roland.
A VS-2480.
And the second Migu album's recorded on it also. And then the recording we just did for Spielgusher a few days ago on it also. And a future recording. In December we have planned for brother, sister, daughter.
Yatta.
Mr. Nels Klein.
Yatta.
Is going to come to Japan. And Shimmy, Shuko, myself, and Nels Klein are going to do a brother, sister, daughter album. 9 songs is our plan. And we're going to use the same machine, which is, it is Econo. But, Econo. You know what? You get a lot. You stretch your dollar, we say in English. You stretch the dollar. You get a lot out of Econo. Mr. Shimmy makes a lot of his own gear. He customizes a lot of gear. He's in a journey to find better and better sounds. More pure, more punch, more open. So some incredible inventions with power supplies, with cables, grounding. Even with the microphones, the preamps. It's really how he's taken it on himself to do this and not look to buy things, but to actually build and experiment.
I want a record human.
He wants human steel sound. Yesterday... he had a session, play acoustic guitar for a commercial, and he went into a big fancy studio. Right?
Bunkamura.
Bunkamura. Very spendy. But the sound would.
Oh, no good.
They don't get a lot of bang for the buck. They spend a lot of money and end up with inferior sound, more artificial, more shallow, less human. Unfortunate. Now, with Cornelius, mostly bass.
Oh, yeah.
So you went back to bass.
I'm play bass in band. First time, Cornelius.
First time. Because at first, only 6 months bass by yourself, Wow. Now, the bass he uses in Cornelius, that's what I recorded with a few days ago. And did gig with last night. We'll do tonight's gig at Super Deluxe. Very nice Fender P bass, but made in Mexico, you know, not their top of the line. Very nice. Very nice. Plays well, no dead spots, good intonation. Mark amp. The heads. Okay, maybe what? A little bit. Mark amp we use. Mark. Amp. Bass amp.
Mark bass.
That's what he uses in Cornelius.
From Italy.
Mark bass. From, Roma, Italy. They've been around. A lot of people like, I mean, they're very light. For amplifiers, very small. But good sound. And his choice of speakers, 215s, no port. Infinite baffle. Good punch.
Good punch.
Yeah. really impressed me, because it has a vibe of punk days when, yeah, not a lot of money and stuff, but we didn't have knowledge. You have knowledge and spend little monies. So it's very interesting for me. But you're a pioneer.
Yeah.
You're exploring. You know? Ashray. I don't know much about Ashray. I played some music here on the show. Because you did solo things after Bridge. But then you made Ashray. Because the solo things had many different musicians.
Solo, I meet many musicians.
Right.
Yuko, Nago.
Right, right. Those are the two people he does Migu with. Mr. Nago, great guitarist. We got the last two songs he played with us out of the 58. But he's going to come and overdub. He's a great thing. It's going to be a strange thing now. Not strange, but lots of options to marry. It's a great adventure, this project. It's something I've wanted to do for a while. And I'm so lucky to meet you. Yeah, very much.
Arigato.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. You've been torn a lot with Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Yeah, you're gonna go to your. What's the summer plan?
Maybe about seven gigs.
Seven gigs.
Austria.
Austria. Austria. Right.
Spain, three or two. Spain, London.
London.
London too.
Oh, great.
Hard to forget.
Okay. But he's going to be busy with that. And there's a Migu album that's being built right now, being worked on. And I heard a bunch of the songs. How many so far? Eight?
Ten.
Ten? And how many will end up?
Eighty percent
done. Okay.
Coming soon.
So maybe 14 songs total. I got to play on one. And it was done last summer. Choose the Light?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good song. Very difficult for me to play in seven. But I'm glad they pushed me and helped me, because yeah, it's really interesting music to be part of. I really like it. I could listen to that song many times. I mean, I've just heard the rough mix and stuff, but it's really good. It's all there. How do you write the Migu songs? I know Shuko's poems have a lot to do. Do they come first or music first?
Music first.
Music first. When the music first, what, drums first? Yeah, what about a song like From Space?
My guitar.
Guitar was first. Harmonics. Yeah, beautiful. And it's kind of a tiny pad here, but it's good. But for some Migu, he uses orchestra. Right? Strings.
So small.
Quartet. And he had him in here playing. Very intense. Like Oshiro. Right. Beautiful song. I've played all the songs on the show. Man. And you'd be amazed, you know? Hearing the sounds from that thing, those two records, and then seeing what he uses to do it. It gives you, you know, there's always this push, like more money, more new, more gadget. And you just proved it doesn't need that. I think you need good ears, too. I think you have good ears. Good musical sense. But Ashray ended, and that's when Migu came?
Ashray, not
finished?
Yeah.
Oh, just on hold. Mr. Nago and Ashray?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm pushing more.
You're pushing on.
My world.
Your world? You push. Okay. Yeah, I played a few songs. I don't have a lot of Ashray. Did Ashray ever make an album? Just EP, right? EP. Yeah, I like some Jimmy sounds in Ashray. Well, I can't thank you enough this week. This adventure for me has been beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, I look forward to December. You bring Nels. It's Yeah. And, yeah, I've been asking you to speak English, but maybe if you want to speak Nihongo.
Nihongo.
A little bit. Mm. Because we're at the end of the show, and maybe so.
Yeah, honestly, Mike, I had to. I was really happy. マイクからいろいろなことを学んで、特にこう自分が抱えている問題の、なんだろう立ち向かい方というか特にこう自分が感じている壁に対してどう立ち向かっていけばいいのかすごく教えてくれてなんだろう僕の兄貴ブラザーマイク・ワーティーズ・ブラザー
Hi, you're my brother too.
ありがとう。本当感謝しています。
Yeah.
ありがとうございます。
Yeah, ありがとう。Right back. And that's the May 16th, 2008 edition of Lot from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.